Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Talking about the tactics, and this is the last tactic for today, and we have four more left, including this one, so after this is only three more left, but it's a tactic from Rules for Radicals from Saul Alinsky, and the reason why we're talking about it is because God gave us, we went for a time of prayer and fasting for 7 days to be able to seek the voice of the Lord and what's going on, and he showed us organizing, he showed us Guy Fawkes, what took place in when King is the very first parliament that took place for King James the, King James the First, and they were wanting to blow up the parliament there. Mm-hmm. And when you see those masks, those Guy Fawkes masks on, this the mask with a mustache on it, that's Guy Fawkes. And that's what people are saying when they're wearing those masks, whether they know it or not. But they're being organized, and they're being organized in the context of that, of saying that, and this is what God showed us, they really don't know what they're really, really doing.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the 13 tactics, they know this. You know, they say they don't know what they're going. You just got to keep them focused, keep them, you know, new things happening. But in the context of that, that all of a sudden, there's going to be a moment where people just buy into this organized effort, and they're gonna put on that mask per se, and it's just going to morph. And it's like all, at that point, there's going to be a transformation,
mm-hmm.
a transformation, and the spirit that was on Guy Fawkes was about destroying your access to God's word. That's what was happening. Because King James is the one that had the official 1611 King James Bible that came out of the Hamilton Conference that God systematically, you have not heard America, how we got here and how we stay here. You can actually hear about all that. But they wanted to stop it because he was a Catholic and he was upset, a minister in the Catholic Church. And he wanted to stop these Protestants from having the word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what King James wanted to do, and what they actually, you know, helped him do, and they came and presented it. So we got to have a common Bible that we're all using. And of course, it's the Geneva Bible. And then the King James Bible came. And so it's just really exciting to understand that, but also to understand that's the reason why we're talking about it, because he showed us that these people were being organized. And then once they were organized, and there's like in and out, everything's fine, then one day it just morphed. Mm-hmm. And they put these masks on, and they couldn't get it off. It just became part of their faces. And it was like somebody that was doing that to them. And people were easily being taken advantage of in the context of this. And that's why we're talking about these 13 organizing tactics. Is America being organized and the world being organized? And we're finding out at this point, pretty much every tactic's been used. But our president taught it for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to find out now, there's so much to say. There's so much to say in the context of this. But we're just going to kind of brush over it and kind of give you more on the torch. But this is the 10th tactic of the Alinsky tactic, be able to organize, which is comes out of a book that he dedicated to Lucifer, was the first one to use these tactics. This is the 10th tactic from the 13 tactics from Rules for Radicals for Organizing. The major premise for tactics, and that's what we're talking about, different tactics. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Let me say it again. This is the 10th tactic. The major premise for tactics, that's the things we've been talking about, is to develop the development of an operation, an organized effort, an operation, mm-hmm. operations that will maintain the constant pressure upon the opposition. He goes on to explain a little bit more. It is this unceasing pressure, this unceasing, unrelenting, it's like nonstop. I mean, think about it, from the time that this organizer got in, it's like it's just been nonstop. It is this unceasing pressure that results in the reaction from the opposition that are essential for the success of the campaign. In other words, the constant pressure is to get you to react.
Mm-hmm.
But as Christians, it doesn't matter what people are doing. We got to find out how does God want us to be?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at the light perspective. Okay, that is a Lucifer tip for the day from Alinsky's book, which our president taught. By the way, the front of Rules of Radicals is dedicated to Lucifer, and the back of it is dedicated to Barack Obama prior to being president. And Hillary Clinton, who is wrote a thesis in her university when she was graduating on Alinsky's model of organizing, mm-hmm. and they sealed it when President Bill Clinton became president. They sealed her paper, mm-hmm. I mean, a term paper sealed.
I'm a first lady at that. It's not an elected official or anything.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Somebody has that paper. I don't know if it's. If we'd like to be able to read that paper. Send it to us. Well, it's just interesting reading, I'm sure.
Interesting.
But we still doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It's, you know, for us as Christians, what does God say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does God say? And so here we are. And you say, what happened during his, our president's first administration? And in the context of that, well, you have a community organizer who understands these tactics. And we're understanding what is the church perspective, because Christian perspective, because JJ, that where did the Jews and the Christians come out on this? You know, you need to know that. And you'll probably see a link to JJ. JJ means, what about the Jews and what about the Christians? Well, Jesus was a Jew, and obviously you make a choice for Jesus. And despite all the goodies, you know, where what happens to the Christians in the gospel through all this? And so you think, well, what's happening here? And you cannot sit here and say that our president, who we need to honor him and realize that we pray for him. We've been praying for him and his wife, Michelle, the first lady. We've been praying his daughters. We've been praying for the cabinet. We've been praying for years now, for 24 hours every Monday. And because we know from the very beginning when God spoke to us that that there's been a setup, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's been a setup. But as things begin to unfold, I'm listening to on O'Reilly, not O'Reilly, but Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity having President Barack Obama's pastor was being talked to, and he's talking about him being, you guys don't understand, he was selected before he was elected. As a matter of fact, listen right now. This is Pastor Jeremiah Wright speaking to a group of folks based on the understanding of how it works. Listen up.
Getting that Barack Obama was selected before he was elected. You didn't select him. He's accountable to the ones who selected him and who paid for him to be the president.
And that's so important because, you know, pretty much when you're running for a president of a nation, that happens to any president. It's like, who am I going to bring in alignment and be in alignment with? It's because it takes a lot of finances to be there and that type of thing.
You raise $1 billion. I mean, hello.
And it matters who your friends are because, you know, things are going to be due. Well, what we're seeing is, in the context of it, we're going to hear in just a moment, is at the John F. Kennedy Library, prior to when it was still Hillary Clinton, Senator Obama, and what was the other candidate with the perfect hair?
Oh, John Edwards.
John Edwards. They're running, so they're sitting here talking. You have a it's panel talking here, and they're talking about the very thing that we are, and it sounds like when you hear the context, and we're going to make this whole thing available to you can listen to it. You know, I'm the kind of, you know, I'm the kind of person that I listen to stuff with intensity.
Context, other
people
absolutely.
People just go, oh, I don't want to hear all that. So we're just going to play one part of it. And in the context of that, is, you need to oil that probably. You know, you need to hear all that.
That knee of yours.
Yeah, no, that's that knee is something else, isn't it? Well, you're going to be hearing here right now from the John F. Kennedy Library, and we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch, is Robert Kuttner, speaking on behalf of a transformational, and they're all, this was a panel of Kay Sunstein, him, and some others that are talking about, you know, we need a transformational president. And they asked Cass Sunstein here, they said, what, you know, if you had a name, you know, transformational presidents, who would it be? And of course, the first one was Woodrow Wilson.
FDR, right?
Yeah, FDR was one of them, and he kind of talked about him. But we're not going to be able to play all that for you today. But understand, this is before he was in office. And according to his pastor who married him, Reverend Wright, who married our president and Michelle, he mentored him. And I don't know, 20 years supposedly that, that it was and under his leadership, a student of so he's saying, listen, it sounds like he's trying to help people understand that this is how things work. He's been selected before you elected him. So they have, and remember these meetings where you saw all these candidates kind of go off into a room, you know, a hotel room or something, and they come out and they go, okay, it's going to be her, it's going to be him or whatever. And that was a selection process more than likely. But in the context of that is like, but what was the purpose Well, today, you know, you hear people saying, you're a Christian saying that you know, he's transforming the country, he's transforming whatever. And, you know, Ronald Reagan did that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's not necessarily a negative thing, but the thing is that, but who was the ones that selected him, and what are they transforming us to?
There's good transformation and there's bad transformation. You know.
So let's hear Robert right now, and you can see this whole thing as they're talking about when they looked at Senator Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and
Jonathan Edwards,
and listen to what they're saying here.
To write on 2008 is a potentially transformative moment, and
so he's talking about 2008 is a transformative moment. Realize that President Barack Obama has not been chosen as the president yet. So you can't say that President Barack Obama has done all these things. And the fact is, this transformational progressive mindset was happening prior to him even getting there, before he's even getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Although he did teach the tactics, and he did in regards to the Linsky tactics for 4 years. But then you merge that with this folks who, and that's what happened to Woodrow. And you can hear more about Woodrow, and hopefully there's a link on this, about Woodrow Wilson, President Woodrow Wilson. He was at a university, and they had some progressive individuals that came to him, and they looked at him, and when he would give his speeches, his students would stand up and applaud him.
He's a good talker, good
yeah.
orator.
Right, and so in the context of they say, they begin to discuss their agenda with him, and they said, yeah, we like this. And so they ran him for the governor of Jersey. And eventually he became the president, and he had his own mind, too, in the context of that, and he went to accomplish other things. But it's kind of some same contextual things that are going on right here. So he was selected. Woodrow Wilson was selected before anybody elected, and that's what I'm talking about in the context of this. The 10th tactic from Alinsky's 13 tactics here with our president taught for 4 years prior to being president. And they say the major premise for tactics is to develop the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. And we're finding out right here that we just heard from our president's previous pastor, I guess for about 20 years, one that married him and mentored him, Reverend Wright. He says that you don't understand that he was selected before he was elected. Before you even thought about electing him, that they selected him to be the one that you would be the one. So these folks are talking, the John F. Kennedy Library, prior to him being selected, they're talking about who they're going to select in the context. They're talking about being progressive in the context of that. And this is in Boston, of course. But let's finish up. So listen to Robert.
She instead agreed to sit still for an interview, which we did. And we both felt in that interview, which was the germ of this book, which is dedicated to Doris, that Obama faced both the kind of crisis that could be a transformative moment, and had things in his character that might allow him to be a transformative president if he could first get elected. And I think it's interesting that a lot of people, a lot of progressives like me, looked at Edwards, looked at Hillary Clinton, and looked at Obama, and if you just parse it out in terms of their stance on issues, Edwards was the most progressive, Hillary was a little more progressive on a lot of issues, Obama was the most centrist. But I think a lot of liberals gave him a pass on the issues because they saw in him the seeds of a potentially great leader. And I think whether he would be a great president if elected and whether he manages to get elected are increasingly becoming the same question. Does he have the nerve to stand for transformative change? In this case, economic change. I mean, what you have today is you have a very serious financial crisis on top of a slow-burning 30-year, not a crisis, but a weakening of the economic security and economic prospects of ordinary Americans.
So the question that they're asking is they're trying to see who they're going to select for their candidate is their values are progressive values. Can he transform the nation? Can he can Hillary transform it? Can Barack Obama transform it? Can John Edwards transforming. It's like, who said we needed to be transformed?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
That was the whole argument begins with, we have our founding fathers who 150 plus years coming of the death of King James the First, who wrote had the Hamilton Conference, to be able to bring the Bible, the Word of God, to men where we could understand the context of that. And within 150 years after his death, they were signing the Declaration of Independence because you could have one nation under God. And that you look at what they wrote. It's not what the a lot of people who are against God say. There's like 27 different reasons, I believe, in the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. Taxation without representation was just one of 27. And then when you read the Constitution that was written 12 years later after the Declaration of Independence, then you're finding out this is what their intentions were. And so the Declaration of Independence, and then in 1791, when the Bill of Civil Rights was available for us, they were assuring the rights for each individual citizen that says, you know, you have a right to worship God, you have a right to be able to assemble, you have a right to be, the government makes those laws concerning your religion, and on and on. And it's the fact that we don't want to transform this.
Mm-hmm.
And what you sense here, if you watch this whole two-part, and it's called transformational presidencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were looking to select someone. That's why you can't just point your finger at a front man. And besides, as Christians, we need to honor our president no matter what, because God will honor us in the context of that, but also honor your neighbor because they're the ones that truly are the leaders of the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, government by the people and for the people. But in that, you know, based on what the Lord has told us, is that this has been a setup, right? It has been a setup, and people are using, and like they use Woodrow Wilson to be able to bring their agendas in. And Woodrow Wilson's last days was spent in deep depression in a room where his second wife that he married when he was in office would go back and forth and carry legislation alone by herself and have him sign it and then bring it back out again. And she was a Washington socialite. You can, you know, see this in on the VFN Torch and understand we're seeing, you know, almost 100 years later, this 100-year plan unfold of progressives and saying they want to fundamentally transform our nation. It's like, you know, do you really want, as Christians, do you really want to leave the reason why we declared our independence? And the reason why we could is because they believed this, that all men were created equal by our Creator. And that you could, and all of our rights come from God, not from government. And so that was the founding concepts of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Then they wrote out our Constitution, which was what we're made up of, that spelt it out, that we hold, you know, we hold these truths, and we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, you have the preamble there. But it kicks off, the first thing it kicks off is the Congress. And the first part of the Congress is the House of Representatives, because they're your representatives. Do you really want to... Even though the representatives don't appear to be doing their job, or actually they're somewhat, you know, standing up, you know, but not, you know, things are being locked up because they're standing up, which is, you know, they're representing you.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context, do you want to transform all this?
Yeah.
Do you want to transform this? I mean, when you have Puerto Rican golfer...
Chichi Rodriguez.
Yeah, the American Puerto Rican golfer, Chichi Rodriguez, saying, I can't even have... any government funding in my middle school, I'm trying to help these kids because I want them to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's like federal money, federal flag, a federal union. It's like, don't we just...
Hello.
It's the same thing. They're trying to fundamentally transform us, and it's happening because the church has gone to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the cognitive dissonance towards God,
right,
as we heard earlier on. And all we have to do is be Josiah and begin to say, you know what? I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to begin to serve the God of the Word, and I'm going to begin to live my life when it starts with repentance. And if everybody leaves me who wants to go in darkness, and they will leave you when you start walking in the light if they want to stay in darkness. But that will not happen outside of condemning you and criticizing you and basically polarizing and targeting and all the different Lucifer tactics against you. But you know what? He says we can put on the armor of God. We can begin to walk out. But if we'll do this, there's hope. There's hope for the nation, even with the innocent bloodshed that's going on. So in the context of that, this 10th tactic, when you think about it, so they selected the candidate that people could vote for. That's what they did, and that's what they're talking about. Well, in the context of that, who was on that panel talking about the transformational presidents, and you can see this on the BFN Torch, was
Cass
Sunstein. He was on the panel talking about this. And so it doesn't look like, and I can't tell you, it doesn't look like that our president chose Cass. It looks like Cass chose our president. People say, you know, hey, look who he's putting around him. It's like, no, look who's allowing him to be in this place and selected him. And so you're seeing that. And so all of a sudden, you know, create this organization that keeps the pressure on. What did Cass Sunstein do? Well, this is their premise. And so the premise is create as many laws and regulations as you can. And that's what Cass did. This is what was said by John Kalinowski out of Colorado when he was communicating to me about it through email, said that there were so many regulations put in place through this guy who was on this panel before he was selected that said that it doesn't matter who's president from now on because they put so many laws, the pressure can stay on until this puppy's transformed, until it's transformed. And so it's very important. The regulatory czar, the information czar. But this is what God's word says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. This is our answer, our light answer to it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, think about this, then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth from all the waves of all these organizers and all these Lucifer tactics. Then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and the craftiness of people and their deceitful schemes. That's what these tactics are. These Lucifer tactics are deceitful schemes. Instead, he said, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become everything, every respect of maturity in the body of Christ, from the head, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. We have to come alive and get active again in being who we say we are. Children of the day, children of light, born again believers. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program, just that you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.